Praise God. You may be seated. So good to see everybody today. You know, I was thinking about the international flair that we have here in this church. You know, we have people from representing several nations here. Praise the Lord. If you're from another nation, praise the Lord, and you've just recently come here in the last 5 to 10 years, would you raise your hand? Praise the Lord. Yes, we have people all over. Person back there. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I know when we went across the Golden Gate Bridge when we first came here in 1982, Brenda was in her, as a child, you know, she knew that she was called to the mission field. And then the Lord spoke to her as we went across the bridge, "Welcome to your mission field." Praise the Lord. And it's not the Bay Area, a melting pot of several nations. So we're privileged and we're honored to be here. You know, some people think you're crazy for pastoring the Bay Area. I think they're crazy for not pastoring in the Bay Area. But it's been a privilege and an honor. Amen? We don't take this lightly. We are very, very cognizant of the fact that Jesus is coming soon. Amen? In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, we looked at this text last week. He said, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And what we said last Sunday at the beginning of the message is this: his thoughts, his plan, his vision, his dream for your life is awesome and it is unlimited. Amen? So since his dream for us is unlimited, then we should not limit him. We should not limit him. Like the children of Israel limited him. In Psalm 78, in verse 41, I believe it says, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." I looked up the word limit there. It means to make narrow or to restrict. So they restricted him. We do not want to limit him. We do not want to restrict him. We don't want to have a narrow mind when it comes to God. Instead of limiting him, we should be magnifying him. And when we magnify him, what happens is we will see him in the light as he really is. And what he longs to do in our lives. And so let's magnify the Lord. Now, we know this for sure, that the world wants to put a limit on us. Wants to fence us in and put us in a box. You know, Jesus dealt with this in John 17 and verse 14. He said this. John, the 7th chapter, in the 17th, 14th verse, actually. He says, "I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're not of this world." Point to yourself and say, "My citizenship is in heaven." And as a citizen of heaven, you've got a Bill of Rights. You've got rights and privileges as a citizen of heaven. Amen. We are not of this world. We are not bound to the limiting world's system. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the Message translation of that same verse says this: "They, my followers, are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world." Amen. We are not defined by this world's failing system. Now, the word defined means we're not marked by its boundaries. We're not fenced in. Now, the world may say we can't, but we say we can. But not in our own strength. We can only do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? The world may say impossible, but we say there's nothing impossible. Why? Because all things are possible to him that believes. And we are believers. And believers know that with him, there's nothing impossible. All things with him are possible. But then he's given us the faith and put it on the inside of us, whereby we can receive, glory to God, that which looks impossible to the natural man, but oh, thank God, is very possible to us in the spirit realm. Amen. Raise a hand toward heaven and say, "Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I am a believer. And all things are possible to me." Now notice in verse 4:15, he says, "I pray that you shouldn't take them out of the world." No, We want to stay in this world as long as we're supposed to. Oh, but thank God when it's over with, we out. I said, we out. But we have an impact on the world. We can influence this world's system. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this world through us. I pray that you should not take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil, or keep them from corruption. Again, he emphasizes in verse 16, they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Amen. Amen. What we are is we are world changers. Amen. We are world changers. We are overcomers. Now, are there not some things we need to overcome? Absolutely. If there wouldn't be some challenges out there and some hardships out there, we wouldn't have anything to overcome. But God has already said, you're a world overcomer. Amen. So what do you say we start acting like it? Yes. What do you say we start carrying ourselves like we are world overcomers? Amen. Now notice in verse 17, he says, now sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Did you know that the Word of God has sanctifying power? Now, what does the word sanctify mean? The word simply means to separate. It means to separate. God's Word will separate you from this world. It will separate you from the evil. It will separate you from the corruption that is in this world. Oh, glory to God. That's good news. Now, it becomes very, very important that you and I, as a way of life, continue to renew our minds. Yes. We continue to renew our minds. When we got born again, it's our inner man that got born again. It's our spirit that got born again. But how many of you know your body didn't? And your mind did not. So God left the responsibility up to us to do something with our body, to present it to Him as a living sacrifice, and then to do something with our mind, to renew it so that our mind can be restored, so that we can think like Him and talk like Him and walk like Him. Amen. In Romans 12:2, he says this, and be not conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. One translation says it like this, let God transform you, or let God change you. Can anyone testify that you've been changed? I mean, not only in your heart, but you've been changed in your mind. You've been changed in your body. Let God transform you, he says, into a new person. And I like this, by changing the way that you think. So when we look at the word renew means to renovate. Everyone say, renovate. That's what we did when we got this building. We renovated it. We tore some things up. We moved some things out. Is that right? Yes. Well, when God's Word comes into your heart and into your mind, it will remove and demolish some stuff you got from the world. So I want to encourage you to remove the limitations in your mind and replace them with the unlimited promises of God. Everyone said, the unlimited promises of God. And so his word then, what it will do, it will replace the old mindsets and the old attitudes we used to have. See, you're a new person with a new attitude. Reminds me of an old song, I got a new attitude. Amen. How many of you got a new attitude? A new way of thinking. A new way of living. Amen. And so you're a new creation. We talked about true identity about a month ago. We are new creations with a new attitude. In other words, our wrong belief systems are being changed. What we heard, if it hasn't lined up with the Word of God, we need to remove it out of our lives. And we need to let God's Word transform us into the image of His dear Son. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. It has been said that our attitude determines our altitude. Remember that? So instead of being negative, when we get our minds renewed about everything and everyone, you'll catch yourself being positive. Why is that? Because your outlook determines your outcome. Say that with me. My outlook will determine my outcome. See, your outlook is very important. How you see people, how you view the world, how you view your situation. Your outlook will determine your outcome. Now, A.R. Bernard, a powerful man of God, he's been pastoring in New York City for many, many, many years, a very influential pastor. He said this, your attitude or your frame of mind determines your approach. You believe that? He said, your attitude or your frame of mind will determine your approach, and your approach will determine your success or failure. Friends, listen to this. On a day-to-day basis, one thing you can control is you can control your thinking. You can control your thinking. Much of how that we deal with tough times happens between our ears. I want to remind you what Proverbs 23:7 says, and if you could pull that up. The book of Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, and the 7th verse says something that's very pertinent right now. It says in that verse, as a man thinketh, so is he. Let's read the verse 7 together. Ready, read. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's just stop right there. As you think in your heart, so are you. You know, it really does not matter what people think about you. Because some people are going to think very highly of you. Amen? Some people are not going to think so good about you. But what's in their mind should not determine your day. You're going to have a bright day. You're going to have a sunny day. Because as you think in your heart. Amen? So make sure then, as you think in your heart, so is he, that you're putting the right things in your heart. Amen? Don't listen to negative things. Don't hang around with negative people. Hang around with people that'll put something in you. Hang around people that will encourage you and not discourage you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We talked last week about his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. But thank God he's given us 66 books of his inspired thoughts. Woo, glory to God. And if you will spend time feeding on his thoughts and feeding on his word more than you're feeding on the entertainment of this world, it will change you. And when circumstances and blockades come to you, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man believeth, as a man speaketh, so shall it be. Oh, shout out with me, so shall it be in my life. Glory to God. So when we don't think like the world, we don't talk like the world, that's when you know that transformation is taking place. Oh, hallelujah. You're being changed. Some of you are being changed right now. Some of you are being transformed right now. God's word is getting in your heart. Now, we know this for sure. I mean, you can watch the news last night, all of the attempts to bomb Israel. And didn't they do well? You talk about no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and no evil shall befall them, neither shall any plague come nigh their dwelling. Woohoo! Glory to God. David's sling was out there. I mean, wow. You know the Iranians have got to be discouraged. Huh? I don't know how we got off on all that. But you know, this world is on shaky ground, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of folks, there's just a lot of crazy people out there. There's a lot of folks that want to do you harm. You know, when we get raptured out of here, they'll come up with something crazy. They'll be so glad you're out of here. Oh, it must have been the UFOs. How's that going to work for him in the next 7 years? Uh-uh. This world is on shaky ground. Glory to God. But you're not. You're not on shaky ground. You're on solid ground. You're on higher ground. You're on covenant ground. Woo, glory to God. That's the ground we stand on. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other, what? All other ground. It's sinking sand. Oh, glory to God. See, we're in a kingdom that's unshakable. We're in a kingdom that's unshakable. You look it up. In Hebrews, I think it's chapter 12 and verse 28. One translation says, since we have received a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful. Let us be thankful. And please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and with holy awe. Can we just worship Him for about 15 seconds right now? Oh, we reverence You, Lord. Glory to God. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for putting us on solid ground, on higher ground, on covenant-keeping ground. Amen. Hallelujah. And so know this now, that you are very, very, very important to God. Amen. And not only that, but you also have a very important part in His plan. Let's say it like this. You have a very important, vital part in the kingdom of God. Amen. See, I believe with all of my heart that God doesn't see any unused members. God sees us all being used and fulfilling the plan and fulfilling the call of God that He's placed on the inside of us. Folks, you, I guarantee you, you would not be alive in the last of the last days if God hadn't chosen you. Folks, you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Listen, God's counting on you. God's depending on you. His hand is upon you. His grace and anointing is there in you and on you and wants to work through you. Woo, glory to God. So don't see yourself as inferior. Don't see yourself as less than the least. See yourself as a child of the living God who is more than enough and has made you enough to fulfill everything in His will. I don't know about you, but that helps me today. And you know what else? That excites me for you. Because some of you are getting it. Some of you are realizing, hey, there's something God's got for me to do. Woo, glory to God. I said glory to God. There's something God's got for us to do as a church. But there's also God's got something for you to do individually. I know I'm preaching good right now. He chose you. He had a plan for you. Before you were born. Whew. Galatians 1:15 says, it pleased God in His kindness to choose you and to call you even before you were born. What undeserved mercy. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Even when you were living out there in the world, even there when you were messed up and you were on your way to hell, the hand of God was upon you. And He saw to it that someone got to you with the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, glory to God. Say with me, God had a plan for me before I was born. He says this to us this morning, I am your creator, and you were in my care before you were born. Think about that. What does this teach us this morning? I'll tell you, one of the things that it teaches us is this, is you were not an accident. You're not here by accident. You're not alive in the last days by accident. There's no accidental babies. There may be some accidental people, but there's no such a thing as accidental babies. Israel Houghton, a man of God that's used mightily in the area of praise and song and worship. His mom got pregnant at the age of 17. And she was a concert pianist, and her parents were so upset, her parents disowned her. When she moved to California. She was all alone. She became a drug addict. But one day a lady came up to her and said, "Don't you know Jesus loves you?" And she may have been speaking prophetically, because she chose not to have the abortion. And she said, "You did the right thing." Glory to God. 2 months later, she gave birth to Israel. And look what the Lord has done through this so-called accidental baby. I'm here to tell you that God takes what man would call as an accident and turns it into a divine appointment. Amen. A divine appointment. Amen. In Romans chapter, Hebrews chapter 12. Here's what I want to land on this morning. That God's calling in your life, it is unique. It's unique. In Hebrews chapter 12, 1, notice with me this last phrase. Let's read, beginning with, "Let us lay aside." Ready, read. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Let's center in on that phrase. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us individually. Now, I like one translation, and it says this: let us run the particular race. Let us run the particular race. Amen. So what this is saying is this, is God has a particular, a unique race for all of us. That means nobody in this room is excluded. You have no excuse. You are without excuse. God's got a course marked out for you. Amen. How many of you want to run that particular race? Amen. Everyone, like I said earlier, everyone has something that God is depending on them to do. God's got a plan to prosper you in every area of your life, so that you can run your race, so that you can finish your course until you're completely satisfied, having done everything that He's called you to do. You know what? You know how long I'm going to live? I don't have a year for you, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to live till I'm satisfied. Why is that? Because Psalms 91 in verse 16 says, "With long life, you'll barely make it through." With long life, everything's going to get shaky. No, He says, "With long life, I will what? I will satisfy you." Amen. I will satisfy you. In other words, with long life, you'll be delighted. With a long life, I will satisfy you. And incidentally, along with that, I will show you my deliverance. I will show you my salvation. So don't let anybody sell you the fact just because in your genes there was some tragedy. You got some new genes. You got some designer genes. You got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You got the Father living in you. You got Jesus living in you. You got new genes, baby. Hallelujah. See, but what happens with some people, because a part of their family had this and another part of their family had that, well, I'm next in line. No, we need to get rid of that's wrong thinking. That's wrong believing. That's seeing the wrong thing. What we need to see is we need to see living long and living strong. Live, come on, let's rehearse this. Living long and living strong until I'm fully satisfied.
Hallelujah.
Woo, glory to God.
Glory.
I said glory to God.
Glory to God.
I'm looking at a group of people that are going to live long, they're going to live strong, and they're going to be fully satisfied.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yeah. Glory to God. I was thinking the other day, glory to God, we're going to live long enough to see our grandchildren's baby. We're going to be great, great, great grandpa and grandma. Amen. So this is... Pastor Mark, you're 73. Shouldn't you be retired? Are you kidding me? No, no retirement. Refirement, yes. Amen. I look at some of these preachers like Pastor Hagin, 85 years old. Brother Copeland, 87 years old. You talk about their youth being renewed like the eagles. What they've decided, they're going to live long and live strong until they're satisfied. And I'm going to tell you something. God's no respecter of persons. You do not have to be behind a pulpit to live long. You don't have to be behind a pulpit to live strong. You can live long, you can live strong, and you can fulfill your race. You can fulfill what God's got on the inside of you. I'm telling you, there's businesses in this house. There's millionaires in this house. There are people in this house that are world changers. Amen. There's missionaries in this house. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, you sure seem stirred up today. You bet I'm stirred up. I'm stirred up because I'm excited about the race that God has set before you. I'm excited about the race that God has set before us. I'm excited because this house is debt free in the name of Jesus. I'm excited because we're going to be able to do more for missions than we've ever done before. We're doing quite well, but we're going to do a whole lot better. Why is that? Because the Lord is helping us. And the vision shall be fulfilled. Woo-hoo-hoo. So God wants you to know His plan and His calling for you. Don't let anybody say you're not called. Don't let those old voices from growing up bring you down. It's time to hear a new voice. It's time to hear His voice. And His voice will always lift you. It will always encourage you. Somebody says, Pastor Mark, I've got a job, but it's not the job I want. It's not the job I desire. Rejoice in the job you have and look unto Him to bring new horizons, new employments, new things into your life. Amen? Everyone say, I'm called. Now, the word called in the Greek is kaleo, kaleo. And it's used over 100 times in the New Testament. Now, what kaleo describes is this, is God's purpose. It describes God's assignment. It describes God's reason for your life. In short, it's Jesus calling. Now, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 28th verse. Let's read this together. Amen? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Stop right there. Do you love God?
Yes.
Then you are a candidate for all things to work together for you. Amen?
Yes.
Now notice this last phrase. To them that love God, who are called according to what?
Yes.
You are called according to His purpose. And here's what I see in that verse. Calling and purpose go together.
Amen.
Say that with me. Calling and purpose go together. His calling is His invitation for you to live out His plan for your life. Never, ever put him on call waiting. Does that resonate? How many of you have ever been put on call waiting? Dun, 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 dun. The wait time is now 10 minutes, 30 minutes later. Dun, 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 dun. We don't like call waiting. We don't like being put over to voicemail. Listen, folks, when God calls you, answer the call. Don't say, well, I'm gonna get to that later. Stop procrastinating. Folks, time's ticking by. Time's ticking by. I'll deal with that later. Sometimes later never comes. See, the Bible is loaded with men and women that answered the call. Noah answered the call. Abraham answered the call. Moses answered the call. Samuel answered the call. David answered the call. Isaiah answered the call. Jeremiah answered the call. Jesus answered the call. Paul answered the call. Now, I like what John 15:16 says in the CEV. It says this: you did not choose me, but I chose you. Amen. And I sent you to produce lasting fruit. So here's the good news. You didn't initiate the call. He did. He's the one who anoints. He's the one who equips. He's the one who appoints. And God's call and God's plan and His purpose is not based on your performance. It's not based on your perfection. If He waited for all of us to arrive, He'd be waiting a long time. No, in Christ we're perfect. But how many of you know He's still working in our lives? He who began a good work in you, He's performing it. He will complete it until He returns. So His call has nothing to do with your perfection. It has nothing to do with your performance. It's amazing how God has called some people that in the natural realm you would think, are you serious? That person? That person has a worldwide ministry? Are you kidding me? See, God uses the simple things of this world to confound the wise. Amen. No, God's not kidding when He plants a person in the body of Christ and gives them a worldwide ministry. Glory to God. Amen. What can He do with you? What can He do in your life? What can He do? A better question would be, what won't He do? Amen. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You didn't work for it. It's been graciously given to you by God. It is a grace gift. How many of you have a career? You got a career. Raise your hand. All right. That's most of you have a career. How many of you know that careers are built, right? Vocations are crafted by what? By education and by training. Now, there's a difference between a calling and a career. Your calling is a gift. Your job, if you will, or your career does not define your calling. Your calling is not necessarily your career. Now, they might meet up. Most of the time, it's bivocational. See, what a career does, a career makes for a living, but a calling makes for a life. So what are you saying, Pastor Mark? I'm saying this. Let your career serve your calling. Let your vocation serve the greater God who wants to do something in you and through you. Woo, glory to God. Amen. Oh, folks, there's so much grace available toward us. I mean, John described it like this. There's just layers and layers and layers and layers of His grace. There are so many grace gifts in this room. There are so many people that have been graced to serve, graced to have a business. There's people that have been graced to teach. There have been people that have been graced with a wonderful mercy gift, where the mercy of God and the compassion of Jesus just flows out of them. There's so many graces here. In John chapter 1 and verse 16 in the Amplified, I want you to read it with me. Ready, read. For out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we are all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Woo, you need to see yourself that way. I've got layers and layers of grace in my life. I got gift upon gift, blessing upon blessing. Amen. Amen. And so what we want to do is we want to discover what it is. Not decide what it is. We want to discover what it is. So that we can find it, we can fulfill it, and we can finish it. Everyone say, find it, fulfill it, and finish it. Here's what Peter said. He said, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as stewards of the manifold grace of God. Glory to God. What you have on the inside is not just for you. It's intended to work through you. The vision that God gave you in Oakland to feed the homeless, that is a great, great vision that God has given you, and you will fulfill it and you will finish it, and the Lord will supply your every need along the way. Amen. Glory to God. How many of you believe that? How many of you can shout with Andre and Tracy, praise the Lord, it's coming to pass. Amen. That dream, that vision, those goals that you have for the Philippines, in the name of Jesus, we call it done. We call every need met. We call every bill paid for the goodness of God. Woo, hallelujah. And I declare over your life, your vision being fulfilled, your plan, praise God, bursting forth in you, walking in it and living in it and walking in the goodness of God. Yeah. Why not you? Why not me? Why not us? After all, aren't we a part of the blood-bought church? So his plan and his purpose for your race is not your choosing. It's already been chosen for you. See, God sets the members of the body of Christ just as it has pleased him. Now, here's what we need to do. Is we need to rejoice in God's choice. I'm going to say it again. I'll give you another opportunity. Here's what we, like someone recently said, here's what we need to do. We need to rejoice in God's choice. Serve the Lord with sadness. No, how do we serve the Lord? We are to serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. And when Sunday morning rolls around and you have the tendency to just keep turning and tossing, you need to have this attitude. Hey, I don't want to miss church. Because I may miss a word from heaven. I may miss something that will transform in my life. Here's our attitude should be when we walk in. I was glad when they said unto me. I wasn't sad when Sunday morning rolled around. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Woo, glory to God. I said glory to God. So trust in him to fit you and to place you where you belong. Don't lean to your own understanding. Joe Kak, a good friend of mine, who has a wonderful ministry in Manila, Philippines, he said this. This is quite a statement. He said, your race will take you places you hadn't planned to go. Places where you will thrive and places where you will grow. Hallelujah. Places where you will thrive. Hallelujah. And places where you will grow. So here's what God does. God directs our steps. Now, it's true that sometimes God will mess up our own plans. Is that right? But He'll never mess up your life. Understand this, that there's treasure on the inside of you. Somebody says, Pastor, stop. Couldn't be me. Yes, you. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says it this way, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? So that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Glory to God. So as His masterpiece, as His treasure, you got a God-ordained place. Where what? Where you fit and where you flourish and where you shine. There's no greater place to be than in the will of God, graced by God. It is your wealthy place. Let's all stand up. Is that okay for you this morning? Glory to God. Let's raise our hands toward heaven right now. And let's just thank the Lord for the calling of God upon our lives. Oh, Father, we stir up those things on the inside of us. We stir up those gifts, Lord, those dreams, those visions, maybe that you've given us a decade ago. Glory to God. It's time to take some of those things off the shelf. Time to take some of those things off the shelf and say, Lord, let it be unto me according to thy word. Let it be unto me according to thy will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Say it me. The Lord is.
The Lord is.
He's directing my steps.
The Lord is.
Directing my steps. And the Lord is.
He is perfecting
that which concerns me. Say it again. The Lord is.
He is perfecting
all that concerns me. Ooh, glory to God. For in my pathway, is light. In my pathway is life. In my pathway is direction. And there is no confusion. And there is no lack. In my pathway is the call of God, is the plan of God. And in my pathway, there is no death. In my pathway, there is no defeat. In my pathway, there is no quitting. In my pathway is victory. All that I can see is victory. All that I can see is victory. Victory, victory, victory in Jesus. Glory to God. Somebody shout amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo, amen, amen. Well, I trust you've been encouraged today. I've just been encouraged preaching the Word of God to you. So I pray that this Word just dwell in you all week long. Stir yourself up. See yourself accomplishing what God has called for you to do. Amen. You can do it in and through Christ. Say of me, I'm moving in Him. I'm living in Him. And I will fulfill all the will of God. I answer the call. No more call waiting. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am. Use me for your glory and for your honor. You will be meke solo brande ke shtemana. And you'll be amazed at what the Lord will do. You'll be amazed at what the Lord will do as you open up your heart afresh and anew and say, yes, Lord, thy will be done. I answer that call that I've put on the shelf. Forgive me, Lord, for that. I'll do that, Lord. I'll do that. I'll go there. I'll say this. I'll do what you say to do. Everyone say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Yes, Lord.
To your will,
to your
and to your way. Yes, Lord. It's not over. It is not over. It ain't over till you say it's over. And if you will not say it's over, it's not over. Glory to God. Woo, look at your neighbor and say, it's not over, it's not over, it's not over. Glory to God. It is not over. It is not over. It's not over till the trumpet sounds. And when the trumpet sounds and we're caught up together with the Lord to meet Him in the air, we enter into a new season. It's a new day. Hallelujah.